Blog Talk Radio.
Today's show is titled, Look for the Best in People and You're Likely to Find It. One of the reasons I want to talk about this is because when you're in business for yourself, you need to associate with the people who are the most successful because those people will help you grow as an individual and they will teach you the skills that you need to be successful. You hang around successful people, you'll be successful. If you hang around people who are failures, then guess what? You will be a failure because you will follow their role. My greatest mentor in college was Dr. Digby Sale. He would spend hours with me in his office taking time out of his busy schedule because he believed in me. Who did this for you? Think about a person, mentor, or coach that helped you believe in yourself. What did this person see in you that no one else did? Have you returned the favor? Have you shown another person the best that lies within them? I much prefer how Paul uses the word in Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever takes a much different tone here, doesn't it? And it reflects a profound truth about what we bring to our own experience and to our relationships. Whatever we think about, look for, and expect to a much larger extent than many of us realize, this is what we will find. By understanding and owning this concept, we will profoundly improve our effort on others and find greater joy for ourselves in the process. When I was a young psychology student, I asked my mentor, Nathaniel Brandon, what do you think is the single most important thing that you do with your clients, the one thing that forms the foundation for everything else? His answer was simple, but it had a tremendous impact on me. I look for the best within people, he said, and I try to speak directly to that part of them, even if they do not see it themselves. I look for it and speak to it, and I don't get thrown off by their negative beliefs about themselves. Let me tell you something. A lot of those negative beliefs, they're ingrained in you from childhood. In transactional analysis, Eric Byrne calls it scripts that you're given from the time you're a child. How many times have you met someone and they believe in themselves and they believe that they will be successful and they take that road to success? And you know, even if you fail, you learn from failure. If you never experience failure, then you know what, and you think things come easy, then you get lackadaisical. And when you do that, you don't take things seriously. And let me back up, and we were talking about how people don't believe in yourself. And there's a book called I'm Okay, You're Okay, and there's four quadrants. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm not okay, you're okay. I'm okay, you're not okay, and I'm not okay, and you're not okay. And if you come from those attitudes, then what happens is if it's ingrained in you that you're not okay, then guess what? You will be jealous of other people have. You will be insecure. You will do things that will not allow you to have the opportunity to grow in the way that you truly want to grow as an individual. And often, having a mentor or having someone that can help you change your attitude about yourself so that you can succeed. That's the purpose of a mentor, to keep you accountable that you will follow through in the things that you choose or say you choose to do. Finding the good. This is one of the most profound acts of taking purposeful command of your perspective with others that you can engage in. It can allow you to enjoy them more and for them to feel, see, and in a way that is hard to describe, loved. You know, we all want to be loved, and what people don't understand or don't recognize is you can tell when two people really love each other. From the way they touch each other, from the way they look at each other, you don't have to hear them say it. You can just see it in their body language. And I know, and I've been watching someone that happens to be on television, and his character plays with the player, and I've noticed, and many a times I would hear him say whenever they would ask him about a love interest, or he'd go, oh, you know, like when a 30-year-old man says, I haven't dated or been with anyone in a year and a half, or when they start talking about and leading it in to make you believe it's a girl he's talking about, and then you find out, oh, it's a dog, it's pretty obvious that something is wrong there sexually, because men, and this is something that I learned when I wrote for the 900 phone line, that men look at women and see sex, and women look at men and see romance. That's why it's typically women that write romance novels and very rarely men. And that's why when a woman looks, writes the story, they write it from the woman's perspective, where the man tends to be celibate and only in love with them and only wanting to have sex with them. And they talk about the feelings being different. Well, you know, men, because their sex organs are on the outside, they don't have the same feelings and emotions. And the funny thing is what I was getting at is, recently, since he's been put in lead actor category, I've noticed all of a sudden he started talking about a girl and taking pictures with her. But yet I've almost noticed that instead of them looking, being very close in pictures, it's almost like they're posed. And then he made a point of taking pictures of her in the car with him, or her with him on his trip up to Canada. And she has a business partner in New York. And yet, when he got to Canada, there was not one picture of her with his family. And then when he had a break, he was in Australia. And it just turned, it happened to be around the same weekend that you had the fashion show in London. And she owns her business where she manufactures or designs women's lingerie. And I went, oh, yeah. I mean, because, like, all of a sudden that he's there, he's no pictures of her, and then all of a sudden there's one picture. And instead of them having their arms around each other, you see them touching forehead. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then I remember that back when they were on the way back from Canada, and they went through Carmel, and they stayed at a hotel there. He took a picture of her in the bed, and like making you think they shared the bed together, and yet if you look at the pillow beside her, it didn't even have a head print on it, and it didn't look like the covers had been turned back. And then I looked again, and I looked at the nightstand's on the side, and I'm like, wait a minute. The dog's bed looks like it's by another bed. It was two double beds in there, and I'm like, they didn't sleep together. So there's if you look at the body language, if you look at the pictures, you can tell. And yet when I see him in pictures with his best buddy, they look more like a couple than he does with the girl. And this is a man who loves kids, wants kids, and yet he's almost 40 years old and not married. When there's other guys on the show that are younger than him, from the time they came on, they talked about their girlfriends, and they're already married and have two or three kids. You can always tell by the body language. And the sad part is because of the he has to cover it up simply because of the character and what the character plays. The sad part is that for so many homosexual men, they are not going to be considered for male roles unless they cover up their sexuality. When you look for the best within someone, you are looking for their strength. When you do this, you help them to see, to feel those strengths too. And how that relates back to what I was saying is it shouldn't matter what someone's sexuality is. They should be considered for who they are and how well they can perform. You can probably find examples of people who have done this with you. The teacher who saw an ability in you that you didn't know was there. The coach who knows you could do it. A parent, a friend, a coworker who believed in you in a way that helped you to believe in yourself. And how that relates back to it is when you have to deny your own sexuality, when you have to pretend to be something you're not, then what is happening is you are not acknowledging who you are, the best of the best, and the qualities within you, because you can be you can have the strength and conviction in who you are. You can feel and you can feel those strengths. And when you have to deny your own sexuality, then you are denying who you are as an individual. So that's all I wanted to say about it. But how we view others can generate a self-fulfilling prophecy. We believe that they will behave in a certain way or that they will affect us in a certain way. And lo and behold, it happens. It may have been caused in part by our own expectations and actions. You know, we don't realize this, and when it gets back to I'm okay, you're not okay, it's the messages that the people and your parents are giving you. And for so many years, society didn't recognize its disability community. And their attitude was that either it didn't exist, or they were just not acknowledged and shoved aside and forgotten about and denied their rights as human beings. And then it took years before the laws began to change to where people with disabilities became a part of society and accepted into society today. So we need to look at who we are, and we need to not prejudge people based on our own prejudices That's why there's so much discrimination going on today. Robert Morton first described this self-fulfilling prophecy in 1948 as a three-step process, the belief that a certain event will happen. This leads to a new behavior that the person would not have otherwise undertaken. The actual event takes place and the prophecy is fulfilled. And let's talk about that a little bit, because what that is saying is that we learn from our experiences. That is why sometimes when someone is protected and sheltered, they just don't know how to go out in the world and interact with people and have good relationships and understand how to communicate effectively because of the things they've been told. And many a times, even in business, years ago, companies would offer training on communication. And let me talk a little bit about behavioral styles because that plays into it also. You've got the dominant behavioral style, which is someone that believes they can control the environment, they can control every outcome. They just have this behavior pattern where they believe that they can affect what happens not only to themselves but to the world around them. And then you have the inspiration or the person that has very good interpersonal skills, and they get along with everyone. And they look at things as a way of that it's easy for them to communicate, to get along. They can even be doing business as a party. And then you have the steadiness, and that is a behavioral pattern where this person will literally do everything by the book when they work for a company, and the company gives them a manual, and the manual says this is the way things are going to be. They will know that manual backwards and forwards. And then you got the conscientiousness, and that person is almost like a preppy, and they just question everything, and they don't make quick decisions. A person with a dominant behavioral pattern, a person with an interpersonal behavior pattern, they are very outgoing and they make quick decisions. But the conscientiousness and the steadiness behavioral pattern, they are very reserved. They are very slow to make decisions. So we need to understand when we communicate with each other and how to adapt to each person's individual. Because this, if all of us were exactly the same, then nothing would get done. So one of the things that really helps is to have good interpersonal skills. When we approach somebody with a positive, often, not always, tend to move somewhat in that direction. When we approach that same person with negative expectations, they will often, not always, tend to move somewhat in that direction. The phenomenon was studied and several decades ago by Robert Rosenthal and Lenore Jacobson in their book, Pygmalion in the Classroom. In that study, the book is based on, they told elementary school teachers that certain students showed high aptitude on an intelligence test. In fact, the students were children at random. Over the next year, those students from whom the teachers expected expressive work did indeed do better than their peers, creating our own reality. And this is something that we really need to understand. And what people don't realize is if you, and especially in a television soap, if someone comes on and they're portrayed and pushed and prodded and made to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, then guess what? They may in the beginning they may get what they expect in the long term, but what it is, it's a false positive. Because let's put it this way: if you have someone that's just the most perfect person, and one that's the most mean person, and you pit them and you pit them against each other, then guess what? People are going to feel sorry for the person that's being trampled on. But if you don't have that, and you have to show that you have to grow into the character and make it likable, then people will follow. But if you are told that you have to love this person because she's the most perfect person and she can't be wrong, then what's going to happen is, in the long run, she's going to be the one that's disliked because she hasn't proven herself. We often see what we want to see in people, believing that it is a clear truth. But more often than not, what we are seeing is a complicated combination of the truth, our own beliefs and expectations, a good dose of imagination and interpretation, and the effect. This isn't about ignoring objective reality or denying some horrible behavior like violence, abuse, or criminality. But when we see only what is wrong with someone, we are not seeing the truth. We are seeing our worst expectations, and we are making it more likely that we will influence the other person to fulfill the expectation. When we see the best in someone, we are also not seeing the truth. Strictly speaking, we are seeing possibilities. We are encouraging them to bring out the best in themselves, and we make it more likely that it will happen, that it will become the truth. In doing so, what you are growing and nurturing is love. Look for the best in people, and you are likely to find it. And, you know, that definitely goes back to when you are looking at someone, and you are looking at who they are as individuals, that you will someone who is outgoing, great, respectful. And let me back up a little bit. And I was talking about how I'm okay, you're not okay, I'm okay, you're okay, I'm not okay, you're okay, I'm not okay, you're not okay. That those are things that how we project our feelings and emotions on other people. And we need to learn to be respectful. There is a story called The Fuzzy Tale. And in that story, it's a mother, a father, a son, and a daughter. And they gave out warm fuzzies to everyone they saw. And you have a witch that comes along, and she sees this, and she gets jealous. So she goes to the family, and she tells them, if you keep giving out warm fuzzies, they will eventually run out. You know what? The family starts giving out warm fuzzies. And you notice something changing in the dynamics. So what happens eventually, the witch goes back to them and she says, you have to do something. So they start giving out false fuzzies and cold pricklies. And those are all the negative feelings and emotions. And you know what? Everyone who takes it in, you see them all shrivel and die because they just can't. It affects who you are inside when you are given a lot of negativity. And if you remember back in the 40s during World War II, when a lot of children were left in orphanages and there were so many kids that the nurses couldn't get to them and couldn't hold them and couldn't comfort them. Then you saw a lot of them die. And eventually a hip woman comes along. And what does she do? She goes to the family and she says, You know, it's okay to give out warm fuzzies because when you get, because they will not run out. Your family starts giving out warm fuzzies again, and then all of a sudden, the town starts to thrive and grow. So the whole moral is, if you are supportive, if you encourage people, if you look for that good and best part of them, and the thing is, each of us are unique, you and me. Each of us has something within us that we are good at. And we may not know it, but we need a mentor or someone that can help us find that. And when we find it, then you know what? You can be the best, and you can success at whatever it is that you choose to do and be. It's just a matter of how are you going to do what it is that you truly believe you are capable of. And the sad part is, for so many people, they grow up in negative families. And what also, what happens is, when we want to be successful, and how this all comes together is that today we have moved back to the small businessman, to the entrepreneur. There are more and more companies opening up today, but they're not the typical jobs that you go out and sell or you go out and work for someone in a store, in a retail store. It's, most of the products are being sold through word-of-mouth advertising, that if I have something that I am using and I know someone else who can use and they help promote it, then in essence, I'm going to have them work for me as an affiliate or as a distributor. And how they earn their income is through commission. That is where the job market has gone, and we need to understand where we are coming from and how we can adapt to the new workplace. And if you would like to find out how you can grow as an individual, how you can learn to believe in yourself, if you want to hire a mentor, you can go to the website that's called onepersonalcareercoach.com. And we do offer a free consultation. And then you need to sign up for a six-month course. And if you go to askdavidashensky.com, we will tell you on there how you can sign up, and we will give you articles and different things that you can follow that can help you look at how you can change and make yourself for the better. And you can also, I would like to remind you that brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the idea is, how do you, that if you have negative thoughts in your head, how are you going to change those thoughts and become more positive and learn to believe in who you are as an individual and believe that you can succeed at whatever it is that you choose to do, and whether it be self-employed or whether it be working for someone else?